The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the day came to purify them according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to the temple so that he could be presented to the Lord. For it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be consecrated to the Lord. And they came to offer in sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accord with the dictate of the law. Now there lived in Jerusalem at this time a certain man named Simeon. He was just and pious and awaited the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not experience death until he had seen the anointed of the Lord. He came to the temple now, inspired by the Spirit, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him the customary ritual of the law, he took the child in his arms, he blessed God in these words, "Now, all-powerful Master, you can give leave to your servant to go in peace, according to your promise, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the nations to see, a revealing light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were marveling at what was being said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, a sign that will be opposed, and you yourself will be pierced with a sword, so that the thoughts of many hearts might be laid bare." Now there was also a certain prophetess, Anna by name, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she had seen many days, having lived 7 years with her husband after their marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She was constantly in the temple, worshiping day and night in fasting and prayer. And coming on the scene at this moment, she gave thanks to God and talked about the child to all who looked forward to the deliverance of Jerusalem. When the pair had fulfilled the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and their own town of Nazareth. The child grew in size and strength, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. So we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. We call them holy because they were related to God. That's what holy means, essentially, being related to God. And that is every family. Every family is holy, following in him and being created in him and being invited to be engaged in his life. But how easy it is for us to have an idealized notion of the Holy Family. How easily we can get engaged in the images and thoughts that the angels were whispering to Mary and Joseph while they slept, telling them not to worry about moments of doubt or warning them in time of danger. And for us, we can easily think, well, they didn't have any dangers. They didn't have any doubts. They didn't agonize over decisions. They did. They did indeed. But when we idealize them in that way or try to spiritualize it like they had some hotline to God, they had no hotline to God. They were very ordinary people, just like ourselves. And they were like any modern family, any nuclear family that we see today, facing great challenges and having to listen and to hear and be responsive to God. It's easy for us to try and idealize their home in Nazareth was a place of harmony and complete understanding always. It was not. Sometimes the image that we have, it's sort of as if Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived on some kind of a sunlit island, and they had no worries and anxieties, and God took care of everything. It's totally unreal. The Gospels don't tell us a great deal about their lives, about the early life. We have the instance of the birth and then all of the related issues and having to get up and go under the cover of darkness and the fear and worry about threats to the life of their child. You know what it's like for a mother and father when they have a newborn baby and there's a threat to the life of their child. There's an issue with the heart or an issue with the lungs or an issue with the brain, or how difficult and challenging it is for parents, and many of them spending days and months in the hospital awaiting good news on the life of their child. Mary and Joseph experienced that. And they experienced a whole lot more, as we see in the Gospels. When the child was born, every door was closed to them. There was no room for them in the inn where lodgers stay. They were away from home. It was really difficult for them. And to believe that all of this was being brought about in their lives under the care of God's plan being fulfilled. And then after the birth, their joy was pretty short-lived, because they get the message in a dream again, you got to move on, you got to move from here. Because of the threat of Herod and his soldiers, and there's a threat to the life of your child. How terrible. And so they had to take the child and flee to a foreign country, and now they find themselves as refugees in a country that is not their own, where they're not known by others. And all of this being a part of the unfolding of God's plan. And eventually coming back to their own country and fulfilling the prescriptions of the law in Jerusalem, as we find them this morning. They come back to their own country. They're looking for a place to reside. Where do they settle? In Nazareth. And he grows up there, the child, and we know very little about it and about the details. But they were his instructors and they were his guides. They were the ones helping him to discern and to appreciate his mission in the world. There's no evidence that they knew and understood all of that, but just what they had been told at the outset. So it required a great deal of communion and a great deal of harmony with God to continue to move through those obstacles and challenges. Then we have the issue when he appears again in the Gospels, and it was when they were celebrating the holy days in Jerusalem, as faithful Jews did, and they went up to the temple. And when they leave with the entourage, all of their neighbors and friends heading back home, they find he is missing. You know the issues, like the missing teenager, or just when they are on the cusp of being teenagers and you have the worry and anxiety, and then you have the sharing with them after that, right? Where were you? What in the world were you doing? What were you thinking of? And Mary and Joseph had all of that. And then later on, we see his public ministry. That's the next time we encounter him. And we see Mary's fear that he was being taken over by the crowds, and one day she appears, maybe trying to rescue him, coming with some of the family, and they send a message, your mother and your relatives are outside. He says, hey, tell them, come on. And he said, let me tell you a little something about my mother. She's a woman who knows and understands. Look at that woman. Because that's what faithfulness is about, being responsive to God. And so in view of all of this, we certainly cannot idealize their situation and rationalize it and say, well, they had some kind of a hotline. It wasn't any hotter than anybody else's. It was the same challenge for them, but through that communion that they had in him and through that Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that had overshadowed her, While we think oftentimes the Holy Spirit wasn't there at that point, obviously he was. We see him in the gospel today moving Simeon. Do you ever think, hey, Simeon having a little struggle with himself, saying, well, should I go to the temple or not? And, you know, is this the time? Is this the moment? Holy Spirit was prompting and moving. He had no questions about it. Taking the child in his arms, how did he know it was this child? And then he makes the proclamation, now I can die, O Lord, because your promise to me is fulfilled, that I would set eyes on the Savior of the world. And all of these things unfolding in the midst of that communion with God. And in view of this, no one can claim indeed that the Holy Family had a life that was trouble-free. They had all of the troubles of any contemporary family. They were visited by sorrow and struggle and misunderstanding and problems of one kind or another. They were visited by death. Joseph dies somewhere along the way, and Mary is left to carry things through. He is not there, obviously, at the cross and through the passion, death, and resurrection. And Mary, as a mother, is left to deal with all of those realities again. And because they knew sorrow and trouble and pain, they certainly can provide us that kind of encouragement and be a model for us. Hearing God through all of this and through the challenges. There's no such thing as the perfect family. That would only be possible perhaps in the life to come. Every family goes through difficult times, and every family is required, or it becomes necessary, to make sacrifices. Somebody more than myself has needs to be met. And wherever human beings are living under one roof, there is always issues of conflict that occur because we are wounded by sin, because we have that sense of selfishness and brokenness that constantly makes us appeal for ourselves. But what is important is how we deal with those issues and those problems. Where do we turn to for the help we need? The Holy Family had to struggle, they had to make sacrifices, they had to get up and move and go again and carry deep in their hearts the worry and the anxiety. And these are precisely the things that formed a bond between them. People draw closer to each other when they have to move through hardships together. There's nothing like sharing hardships to create a bond between people. It's those hardships that really strengthen people on the journey. Not the good times together, but rather the challenges that they accept and endure together that really bonds people. There's more depth to relationships that have weathered the storms. And so as we look at them, and on this day, the Feast of the Holy Family, we reflect on their holiness. They being called holy, we are called holy in the same way because we are related to him. But the choice is ours. How much do we really want to be related to him? And holiness is ultimately the fruit of belief and sacrifice and sharing our faith and our communion in him. That's where they really were special. They cultivated that gift and that art of being in communion with him. And so on the Feast of the Holy Family, that becomes our question. How do we cultivate the art of hearing and being responsive to him?